everybody, and welcome to episode 137 of the Ron and Brian podcast, first of the new year. I am Ron, as always, joined by the man who just got back from his winter break job as a Capitol Police officer, Brian. Brian, how are you doing today, my friend? Happy 2021 to you.
Merry Kwanzaa to you too, Ron. It is January. It is 2021. Listen, 2020 was a horrible year. We lost a lot of people, good and bad. I think what's important this year, 2021, positive mental attitude, PMA. Nothing but blessings are in our future for this year.
All right. Feels good. Let's get started with our first drink of the week of the year.
Drink of the week.
Na zdrowie.
Salud.
Drink of the week.
Slasha.
Who's?
Drink of the week. Drink
All
of the
right,
week.
All right, Brian, what are you starting off the year drinking?
Starting with a Glenlivet 12.
All right.
I'm going with the Scotch. This is a single malt, Ron. You're quite aware of what single malts are?
I am.
Good. I would just say that this one was established in the distillery by George Smith in 1824.
Are we drinking it neat on the rocks? What are we talking about?
Well, this is a double oak, so it's been matured in European oak and American oak casks. I'm drinking it with a large ice cube. Here's my first sip.
Keeping it classy as always. It's a good one. I've had that one. It's tasty.
Ooh.
Oh, it's going to be a good night.
This is going to be fun.
I'm keeping it local. I'm keeping it in this country. Going back to our good friends at Broken Goblet Brewing. They put out a beer in conjunction with Boston metalcore band Unearth called Black Hearts Now Rain. This is a Royal Imperial Stout with white chocolate, clocking in at almost 11%. And one of the nice things about this beer is that this is benefiting, sales of this beer benefit the ACLU in both Boston and Philadelphia. They announced the other day that they're going to be able to donate about $1,000 to the ACLU in both cities thanks to the sale of this beer. This is my first sip here. Let's check it out.
That is a blessing. The pandemic has been so hard on people that charity is so important. Ron, as you take a second sip of that, do you feel the charity, the giving, the sense of caring about others washing over you?
There is a warmth in my belly that is, it's the spirit of giving. But that's good stuff right there. I got a crowler of that. So I'll be having a second glass of that during the after dark. So we know it's going to be Sassy Ron coming out in After Dark. And again,
I love
if
it.
You are a Patreon subscriber, you can join us After Dark each and every Thursday after this show. Go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, hit the button to become a patron, and you can join us each week. Otherwise, screw off. No, that's not nice. It's the drinking. The drinking's already getting to me.
Oh, it's already kicking in.
Brand new hats. These are the new Ron and Brian baseball caps, which we will have up on the web store shortly at ronandbrianpodcast.com. We'll get there. There's a little issue with the store at the moment. So we're gonna get that taken care of, and then we will get the hats up there.
What's the issue?
Well, we're not at Beef of the Week yet. So I can tell you as soon as we get there. But what we are up to is This Week in Racism.
This
week.
Racism.
So, Brian, I know we were all hoping new year, less racism. Not quite the case. We took
Damn
a week
it.
Off between Christmas and New Year's. So we did have a couple of stories that were hot in the news that I want to make sure we don't pass over up there in New York City. Maya Ponceto became known as Soho Karen after accusing 14-year-old Kenyon Harold Jr. of stealing her iPhone and then assaulting him and his father as they tried to leave the Arlo Soho Hotel on December 26th. Ponceto later told CNN during a phone interview that she was the victim and was assaulted, but video evidence has shown her repeatedly to be the aggressor. NYPD detectives flew out to California this week to interview her as she faces charges of harassment, assault, grand larceny, or attempted larceny. Ponceto was arrested twice in 2020, once for DUI, driving with a suspended license and failure to obey traffic lanes, and another time for public intoxication following an incident at a Beverly Hills hotel. In that particular incident, her mother was arrested along with her for public intoxication. So a great little family they've got going there. In Elia, Ohio, an intoxicated white man became the first meme of the new year after Barry Allen went upside his head with a can of Twisted Tea in a convenience store for repeatedly using the N-word. Yeah. The video of the altercation went viral instantly, which also shows the Jamie Kennedy wannabe take five or six right hands from Allen to the face before tapping out. Like, you think, I don't know if you've watched the entire video. Like, most people just see the Twisted Tea connecting with his head, and everyone's like, oh, that's pretty bad. But the guy literally pushed him down to the ground and just pounds on him. Like if it was an MMA fight, that's where the ref comes in and starts pulling people off.
But he got 1 pound for each time he dropped the N-word with a hard R. So I believe that that is a fair equation. It's an appropriate beatdown.
All right. I'm not going to argue with that. Going down to Chattanooga, Tennessee, UT Chattanooga assistant football coach Chris Malone was fired today after he posted a racist tweet referring to Stacey Abrams as Fat Albert. After verifying the tweet was Malone's, the university and athletic department removed him from his position, and his bio has already been taken down from the school's website. Jumping out to the West Coast. In California, a state advisory board is recommending that police agencies regularly review the cell phones, computers, and social media pages of police officers for racist and otherwise offensive content in an effort to weed out officers who are prone to racial profiling. This comes after a report reviewed nearly 4 million vehicle and pedestrian stops by California's 15 largest law enforcement agencies in 2019, and it found that blacks are twice as likely to be stopped as their population would suggest, that they were searched 2.5 times the rate as whites, and the odds were almost 1.5 times greater that force would be used against them during a traffic stop. Brian, shocked to hear those statistics, are you?
Not shocked, but, and I know this, you may scoff at this one, but it still surprises me how racist California is as a state. I, for some reason, have this idea that it is a liberal bastion, West Coast style, West Said. however... I'm amazed on a weekly basis the level of racism that comes out of that state.
I think, you know, what you have to take into consideration is you do have a ton of wealthy people there, which tends to lead to a lot of Republicans. And then you also have a lot of wooded hick areas, which, again, I think also go red. So,
yes. See, I don't think of that.
And then in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a UPS driver has been fired after he was caught on a video doorbell going on a racist rant in front of a Latino man's house. After no one answers the door while attempting to deliver a package, the driver begins to fill out a delivery notification slip while saying, quote, "Now you don't get fucking nothing. You can't read and write and speak the fucking English language." The resident, Hugo Aviles, saw the video from his doorbell and sent it to his mother, who shared it to social media.
Good for her. Good for mom stepping in.
That's right. And then our last story, also going out to California. This is in Los Angeles. A group of MAGA supporters had gathered to protest yesterday, the same day as everything went down in the Capitol. They ended up surrounding a 25-year-old black woman, Berlinda Nebo, ripping out some of her hair extensions and pepper spraying her while chanting "All Lives Matter." Thankfully, Nebo's friends and some bystanders were able to get her away from the group, while 20 LAPD officers that were there did not come to her aid.
God damn it. Where was that? Los Angeles?
Los Angeles, downtown LA.
Fucking hell. Fucking hell. People are savages.
What can I tell you, my friend? So the racism continues. Not good. But we will continue to watch it throughout 2021. Brian, you look like you have something you want to say.
No, I was hoping that 2021 was going to be a little bit better. But the fucking racism is just as bad, and it's depressing. Why are you ripping out some woman's hair? What did she do to you? Probably nothing. Probably.
Well, I wasn't there. Asking her who she voted for. You know, the whole nine yards. The typical rundown of the shit show that was fucking in a number idiots. Of areas yesterday.
Fucking idiots. That really bothers me.
I hear you. Well, maybe it'll be your beef of the week. Maybe not. All right. We'll try and find out in a moment.
Ron and Brian's beef of the week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
I understand where I'm about to head may seem out of touch with the pain that is going on in society. I mean, we just spent 5 minutes talking about some terrible circumstances that are going on in this country right now. And something tells me we're going to be speaking about a lot more of bad things. But I had something that happened to me this week, which was elevated to beef of the week.
All right, well, let's hear it.
My problem this week is e-commerce sites that are not set up to allow you to change your order once it's been placed.
Go on.
I feel that it is 2021 at this point. The technology is there that you can place an order on a website. And I don't want to name the website. It's not appropriate. I don't think that it is relevant to my story. But I placed an order, I would say, maybe about a week ago. I was in a slightly inebriated state. So suddenly I was placing orders that I might not normally have busted out the credit card for. I was on a website that, how would I describe this politely? I would say it specializes in personal satisfaction assistance.
Okay.
And I placed an order and I woke up the next morning. I was like, oh, wow, I really did the deed. I ordered that thing. I realized that what I had left out was the drying rack. The actual item that I did not order it's not important. But I realized that I wanted to add to that order. So I reached out, I went to the website and I pulled up my order and I was looking for a change order button. You know, this is a fairly common occurrence nowadays in today's society. So not only is there not a change order, there's not even a cancel order button. Because at one point I was like, oh, I'll just cancel the order and then order what it was that I had ordered the night before, but with my drying, with the additional item. So now the only option I have is to reach out to customer service. Ooh. Sent them an email because that's how they operate. Now, the problem for me is I'm not sure that I wanted my email. I mean, they already had my credit card. It was just already way too much information that I was
You wanted to have on it. I get it.
I did not want this out in the ether, but it's there. So I reached out and I said, hey, I placed an order, would like to add on to it. How do I go about doing that? And I received a response 3 days later, 3 days, thinking about it, stating that they're not set up to change the order. And what my instructions were to create a new order and order that item. Now, this site, which I'm not going to name or whatnot, they had free shipping if you spend more than $99. So I'm not going to order again and suddenly have to pay for shipping for one item.
No, of course not.
When I had gone over on my original order.
What did you end up doing?
Nothing.
All right.
I'm just waiting for my order to arrive.
You're just going to be upset about it.
I don't know that I'll be upset when it arrives. I think I will have I'll probably be very interested in the order. I'll probably be incredibly interested. I think I might be really, really interested. And then probably after about 4 minutes, I'm going to lose interest in it.
It's going to go. The interest is going to go away. And then maybe in a day or two, you'll have that interest again.
My interest will raise again.
All right. It's
cyclical. Ron, enough about me. Sure. What's bothering you?
What's bothering me are these quote-unquote all-in-one free web stores that you can create and put on your own website, much like we have at the Ron and Brian Podcast.com. So apparently we are connected to Square to process payments, but apparently right. at some point we got disconnected from Square. Never got an email about it, anything. So went to reconnect it, it wouldn't reconnect. So now I'm in day three of going back and forth with their support, trying to get them to just be able to take money, which you would think is their job, but it's just not happening. So
what you're telling me is that we're losing orders right now?
We are losing revenue. That's why the new Ron and Brian baseball cap is not up on the site yet. So hopefully we'll have it fixed. If not, we may need to take our business elsewhere, Brian, is what it comes down to. And you would think in the pandemic times, in unprecedented times such as this, you would think that they would not want to lose that kind of volume of business.
So do you think Fleshlight uses Square? I'm not naming websites. Do you think that Square is linked to this other personal?
It's very possible. Okay. Very possible.
I said too much. God damn
anyway,
it.
Anyway, now that we are back in it, can I congratulate you from a couple of weeks ago on, again, two stellar NFL picks? You had Tampa Bay -9.5 at the Lions. The Lions stunk up the joint, lost by 40. And then this was a ballsy pick. You had Pittsburgh as a home dog by 1.5. You're like, you said, this is the week Pittsburgh gets on track. They're going to win the division. Sure enough, Pittsburgh prevails 28-24. Congrats to you. Hopefully you can keep it going in 2021.
Ron, what can I say? I feel blessed, but at the same time, you also went 2-0 in your last week. What I'd like to ask you is, how does it feel to have gone undefeated for the 2020-2021 regular season?
I mean, I think it's a small ray of sunshine in an otherwise bleak year.
Understood. That makes sense. Playoffs are coming. Playoffs. This week is week one of the playoffs. Ron, what do you have?
All right, wild card weekend. I've got Buffalo -6.5 at home against the Colts, and I've got Seahawks -3.5 at home against the LA Rams. Brian, who do you like?
Bold. I like Tampa Bay Bucks -8.5 over the Redskins. I think Brady's coming into his own in the state of Florida. I also like the Browns getting 6 against the Steelers. I believe the Steelers have self-immolated, and I'm not sure if that's a word, and they are going down.
So you're all right with Cleveland, despite their head coach not being able to be there due to COVID?
I actually think that's a positive for them. Did you see Major League? The coaching in Cleveland is terrible.
All right, you raise a very very valid point. Well, bet with your head, not over it, as we always say. But take all that money you won during the regular season, and you're just gonna want to let it ride during the playoffs. Because Brian and I, as we often say, we are straight cash money, homie. Make it rain, Brian. People who
don't
video don't see that, but that's all right. So we, of course, now that we have 2021 upon us, that means it is time for a new year for the Ron and Brian Death Pool. But that means that we must award our championship for last year. So let's go ahead and bring in the winner of the 2020 Ron and Brian Death Pool. Andrew, come on in. Oh, that was the wrong button. Let's hit that button. There we go, Andrew. Congratulations. Winner of the Ron and Brian 2020 Death Pool. How does it feel?
You did it.
I am just glad there's no current events going on now. That would bump me from the show.
No. The death pool is the most important thing that we have going on in this nation. My understanding is that the entire country has come to a standstill to watch you accept the congratulations that you so well deserve. Back in December 2019, we were looking at a very calm year. We were looking at a year of joy, of celebrations, of togetherness. Somehow you saw through all of that and was able to pick the most number of points in the entire pool. What would you attribute that to?
Just seeing death coming around the corner. You knew it was inevitable.
What strategy did you take?
A lot of grim Google searches.
Okay.
Actor cancer, actor illness, actor hospitalized. It's very grim December for me.
I mean, I think he's, yeah, Andrew, I think you're downplaying your performance a little bit. You took the lead early in January with your pick with Daniel Stern. Very, very smart pick, obviously, because he was in the hospital with cancer at that point. And then, Brian, I went back and checked the numbers. Andrew led for 11 out of the 12 months of 2020. Lost first place.
Wow.
For a short period of time. To me initially, and then to our second place finisher Jocelyn for a couple of weeks, but 11 out of the 12 months, a dominating performance that I don't know we'll ever see repeated in the Ron and Brian Death Bowl.
That is upsetting. I'm upset that I didn't start day one with another death. Now I got to go 12 for 12. So
are you prepared to do that?
I think I've picked a lot of front runners here. We're ready to go.
Now, looking at your 2021 entry, I see some names on there that really drew attention. Starting right off, Aaron Carter, you're looking literally at about what am I thinking here? 74 points.
That's a big one. He was born in December 7th, 1987. So yeah, that would be big.
Now it's downward spirals.
See, and this is where apparently I wish that I had hired you to make my picks, because I'm throwing in names, to compete against. I'm putting up David Hasselhoff.
Now, here's interesting. Are you surprised that two other people also picked Aaron Carter?
It's a good pick.
You
got lots of points with a good chance of him ending himself.
I think
not even that, but you come right back with Amanda Bynes.
Like I said, those kids can't handle their drugs.
What about Leon Spinks?
Leon Spinks was a good pick. I like the Jelaine Maxwell. Brian and I both were very upset with ourselves. We kept seeing Chase so close throughout the year.
That's my number one right there. You're going. 6'9"'s got to go too.
There is no way that Maxwell is going to be afforded any type of bail. She is locked in under 24-hour suicide watch. The fact that more of us did not see that coming. Andrew, again, just an impressive show all around here. I looking at your list right now, are there any ones that you feel aren't worthy of an award-winning roster?
I'm glad you guys put out the list. Last year, I had no idea who was on my list until the death tolls rose.
Well, we had asked our producer, Matt Beaker, to put it together. He just took way too long to put it out. He was attending college and doing it remotely. It was a rough stretch for him.
I will say, riding the cancer train again with both Al Roker and Jeff Bridges. Again, I think Jeff Bridges flew under a lot of people's radars that he was diagnosed with cancer this year. So again, it's a long year. A lot can happen.
Now, before we forget, Andrew, Ron, do we have the award?
We don't have it again. That was kind of Matt's fault. We outsourced it to China. Obviously there is some issues with, import
engraving, engraving. It's taken a little bit longer. A lot of it has to do with, customs and, importing, commemorative plaques from China. I believe there's, some tariff issues going on at the port of Los Angeles, but as the, first place winner,
I was told there's going to be a giant check.
We spent so much money on the award, and that's part of it too. The intricacy of the award itself is really what's also delaying it a bit. But Brian, I think Matt did send us the mock-up he did of the award as it's being designed right now. Do you want me to put that up on the screen?
If you can. I mean, Andrew is here. It would be great to give him a sneak of what his award. Oh, is that a fancy looking award?
Wow.
That's going to look beautiful next to the banner we raise next week.
You can't really tell, but it's a lot of inlaid pearl. You know, there's some titanium. We melted it down from Brian's taint, and so yes. There'll be a thin layer of titanium that it sits on.
It's beautiful.
It's just, yeah, it's just a beautiful award.
Now, my question to you, you know, obviously, congrats, you know, you, it's amazing, but there was a cash prize that was affiliated with first place. I believe it was $150.
Wait, which we're giving cash for this?
That was the first place prize. You know?
We didn't charge for anybody to enter, though.
Let's take it from the merch sales.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. However, you know, we were going to send it to you. I know you just kind of implied earlier that we had promised you a big check. That was going to be sent out. I had, I thought about it and I realized that, I've known you for quite a while. You're a very giving man. You are a man of the people. You care quite a bit. And what I did, you know, for you, I put together a list of COVID-related charities that I'm sure you would much rather give this money to than simply take the cash payout. You know, from a medical services, Doctors Without Borders, they're doing some great stuff in third world countries trying to stop the spread of this deadly plague in 2021. Matthew 25 Ministries, Good 360, Convo of Hope, they're doing great things in terms of PPE and relief supplies. In terms of just, you know, funding local organizations, the International Community Foundation. Stop me when I hit the organization that you want to donate your winnings to. And what will happen is that Ron and I will make a donation in your name so you get the tax credit from it. But also the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases, ActionAid. What about Prevent Child Abuse in America? They're doing some great work. One of the things that has absolutely been documented is that over the past year, the number of cases of domestic abuse, child abuse, has increased exponentially during this pandemic. So these kids absolutely could, you know, the $150 not only would help save children, but they help save lives. And you've got the Red Cross, the United Way.
I haven't heard you say My Pocket yet. That's my favorite charity.
So you're saying that you believe that the charity that you want to hold the money.
I just feel like everybody around the Ron and Brian podcast has just given so much already. Your antibodies, thoughts and prayers, that cash is just a little excessive at this point.
So what you're saying, there's no way that we can talk you into donating this to charity.
I don't think so. I think I can enjoy this greatly.
What will you be spending it on?
Now that the Square store is messed up, not Ron and Brian merch.
We were going to give you a Ron and Brian web store credit for the whole 150 for the little snafu we've got going on.
That sounds great. But Ryan, Brian, if you want to send me that website, we'll put some money there.
Yes, absolutely. Free shipping after 99. And you can get a drying rack. A drying rack for $17.99. The important thing is that if you don't let it dry properly, water can build up in it, and that's like mold. Next thing you know, you've got lesions and it's in areas you don't want. You definitely want to go with the drying rack.
Yeah, don't need that.
Andrew, it's been a pleasure. It's great to see you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Best of luck in the 2021 death pool.
I would like to say a year from now, we will have you back on to be celebrating your second Ron and Brian podcast death pool victory. I wish I was eligible to win, but clearly I don't know how to pick dead people.
Well, I'm already expecting to be back talking to you guys next year. So
congratulations, sir. It's a pleasure.
Thank you guys.
All right, Brian. So yes,
all right.
Cool, starting off. So some interesting things here. I took a look. So our top five are our most picked people last year. So obviously Alex Trebek was the one that people picked the most. 13 people had Alex, and obviously he passed away, unfortunately,
right,
in the latter part of this year. Bill Cosby had 12 picks, didn't die. And now only three people kept him into 2021. Betty White, 11 people picked her. She's only picked by two people. Jimmy Carter went from 10 last year to 5 this year. And shockingly, Bob Barker, 9 people picked him last year. No one picked him this year.
Now, is that because of the effect of Happy Madison?
It's very possible. It's very possible. Do you know who the number one pick was this year from people? You won't guess it, so I'm not even going to. No. If you do, I'll be
So right. Why would you ask?
With 8 picks, Tommy Lasorda is the number one person that
really
throughout all of our death pools.
Tommy Lasorda.
Coming in, we had a tie for the second most picks with 5, David Crosby, Mitch McConnell, and of course, Rush Limbaugh, which is kind of interesting. Andrew loves that cancer, but he left off Rush Limbaugh. And then finally,
from what I remember, Andrew is a hardcore alt-right fan.
Right.
So I believe he did not want to get stained with the bad juju of putting the Freedom Award winner. What medal did he get from?
He won the Presidential Medal of Freedom, I believe.
There you go. I don't. From what I Andrew would he would never have picked anybody on the right.
And then coming in with 4 picks. I'm sorry, Jimmy Carter only had 4 picks. Ozzy Osbourne and another darling from last year, Tekashi 6ix9ine, only getting 4 picks. We do have people in the comments asking about seeing your picks. If you go to our Facebook page, we did put a post up earlier today with a link to the Google Doc so that you can see yours and everybody else's picks. Just save that link throughout the year. We do update it with the points, so you can always check and see where your standings are throughout the year. As we anticipate, Brian will be at 0 till probably about September.
It took me 9 months to get a fucking point. And I will say this, Eddie Van Halen came in clutch for me.
Well, and I would say both of us benefited from a single death. You benefited from Eddie Van Halen dying. I benefited from WWE legend Kamala passing away. That gave me a solid 50 points. That was really the only thing I had going for me. I had Alex Trebek and I forget who else, but Kamala was my big pick.
Listen, wrestlers, they age 4 years for every actual spin around the sun. That was a genius move on your part, and had I remembered it, I would have done nothing but WWE stars.
Well, listen, Billy went heavy on the pro wrestlers this year. He's got superstar Billy Graham, Ken Patera, One Man Gang. Easily could rack up some points there. Predictions, Brian, who do you think will be standing tall come the end of the year?
Well, I've got to say, having reviewed all of this, I'm going to say that Brian will come out on top for the cash prize.
All right. I have looked through it. I mean, definitely, I think Andrew has a solid list. Our second place finisher, Jocelyn, coming in with a strong list as well. I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to put a flyer out there. I'm thinking Dom wins the year. And I'm going to tell you why. Because, number one, he didn't pick a lot of people that other people have picked. So he's not going to get, like, if someone hits Tommy Lasorda, it's not a big deal because 8 people have him. But right, he's got some picks in there. Like, I'm going to throw some of these picks out at you that Dom has. Bill Wyman from the Rolling Stones, solid.
Solid.
Don King, Henry Kissinger, Jackie Mason, Jerry Lee Lewis, Norman Lear, Roman Polanski, Rupert Murdoch, Sandra Day O'Connor.
I thought she was dead.
Not dead, shockingly enough.
No.
And Billy says he's got a lot of older people on there, which is true. But if he gets a bunch of them and none of these younger kids pay off, you know, if Aaron Carter survives and Amanda Bynes makes it through the year. But my pick is for Dom taking it this year.
I thought you died. I didn't think you could retire from the Supreme Court.
Who are we talking about? Sandra Day O'Connor?
Sandra Day O'Connor.
You can retire.
I didn't know that. I thought she died. She just retired. Also, I think Charlie Sheen is a great pick.
Well, and that's another one. He's got Charlie Sheen. He's got Dick Cheney.
That's good.
Even Courtney Love. I mean, she's one that could just go in.
Literally OD at any moment. Dom with the sleepers. Well done.
It's well played. But again, I mean, there's definitely a lot of good picks. You know, again, I mean, what surprised me, every major Biden family member ended up getting picked. Joe, Jill, and Hunter, at least one person picked. Donald Trump Jr. both picked. Rudy Giuliani coming in big.
Right. Well, we knew that. I have a question for you, and I don't want to turn this into a uncomfortable moment.
Never. You never want to do something like that.
But I threw on there something that I thought was actually going to please you, make you happy.
Okay.
Put a smile on your face.
I always have a smile on my face, my friend.
I put down your unemployment benefits were going to die. Last year, 2020, was not a good year for Ron.
It was better.
For all first time viewers and listeners, Ron had a rough go of employment wise last year. After having, how do I say this politely, plateaued in the high flying, risk defying world of hotel sales, Ron was unfortunately smashed in the face by the unfortunate pandemic that struck the hospitality industry like nothing before.
It was rough.
You lost your job in mid-March?
Late March,
you lost your job. And if I remember correctly, you struggled mightily to find employment. There were some ups, there were some downs. Your inability to score one interview over the entire rest of 2020, the only thing that got you through, not just financially, but spiritually and emotionally, was the unemployment benefits that you received from the great state of Pennsylvania. I predicted on my list that in 2021, Ron's unemployment benefits were going to die. Now, my question to you is this. If you were to become fully employed, how many points would that get me?
Well, I would argue, because I do like to argue, first and foremost, I would not call my unemployment benefits a celebrity or famous in any way. I don't know how you would assign an age to them.
Did the rules require a celebrity or a well-known individual? I
would say a celebrity death pool, but regardless, this is where.
This is the 2021 Ron and Brian celebrity death pool.
Always been
because on the sheet. On the sheet, you called it 2021 Ron and Brian Death Pool Tracking. There's no word celebrity involved in it whatsoever.
Well, this is where I think your hangup becomes. So first of all, I'm happy to announce that as of this Monday, I'm working full time again. And we'll no longer be
working.
We'll be
so correct. Your benefits are over now, correct?
Here's the thing. And this
I'm on the board. I am on the board, people. Score me up. I am like Jack Lemmon walking into Glengarry Glen Ross.
So
put that coffee down.
Probably smush your feelings. Number one, I did sign the offer letter on December 31st, technically in 2020.
What was your first day of employment?
It doesn't
matter. December 31st?
I signed it on December 31st.
What day did you return to work?
So technically, I returned to work this Monday, but technically,
which was January 4th. So were you gainfully employed, earning money on January 1st?
I wasn't, but my benefits are not dead. Should I become unemployed before the end of the year, I still have a couple of weeks of benefits still in there. So So had I tapped out my unemployment benefits, I would say, yes, they are dead. But in the meantime, they're just more in a vegetative state, let's say. So I don't,
just like our web store is what you're saying.
I don't feel that we can provide you with those points. I do apologize.
I don't like you very much.
Listen,
I don't agree with you whatsoever on this. I believe that I've got points.
You could put it up for a vote between both of us. However, being equal 50% shareholders now, since the holiday edition of our podcast, we would tie. And unfortunately, we really haven't worked out a tie-breaking solution as of yet. So the point is moot.
Screw you.
Well, what are you going to do?
Screw you.
Anything else happened this week, Brian, or was it a quiet week?
It was, how do I put this mildly? It was one of the most important weeks that has hit America, in a not only America, but the world. The world watched in amazement, in shock and awe as Bitcoin climbed to an all-time high of $34,544.94. For those people who got into cryptocurrencies in 2020, everybody is congratulating you. This is a week that will go down in infamy. The week cryptocurrency became legit. Ron, thoughts?
I was more referring to the attack on the U.S. Capitol that occurred yesterday by I believe Antifa. I'm not quite sure who.
Well, I mean, facial recognition software has already identified multiple people that broke into the Capitol building yesterday who are well-known Antifa terrorists, according to Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida. And we know that he is, how do I put this? He is an authority of all things truthful.
That's true. So as we know, yesterday, you know, there was going to be a rally or protest or whatever in D.C., which then turned into Trump supporters overrunning the Capitol, getting into the Senate chamber. Actually, they were held out of the House chamber. A woman was actually shot
at gunpoint. At gunpoint, they were kept
at gunpoint. A woman was shot and later died trying to break into the House chamber. Three other people died due to medical emergencies that happened during that. Speaking of which, Brian, have you heard of this gentleman that is now being referred to on the internet as Taser Balls?
No.
So there is a gentleman. He has been
educate me.
He is a gentleman who has been identified by the name of Kevin Greeson, who was one of the individuals that allegedly, because I haven't been able to get full confirmation on this, allegedly was inside the Capitol, allegedly was attempting to steal a photo of Tip O'Neill for some reason. I mean, I'm not quite sure why that would be the artifact you go after.
And, well, I mean, overweight congressman from Massachusetts always has that kind of effect
and
on me.
Apparently accidentally tasered himself in the groin, resulting in a heart attack, which then killed him.
Oh, glorious, glorious. Hold on a second. This guy tasered himself in the nuts and died?
That is, again, we're having a hard time getting full confirmation of this. But
oh my God,
the theories that are going around is that he did accidentally taser himself and died of a heart attack because of it.
Did I have Kevin Greeson on my death pool?
You did not. I just took a look at the list, and unfortunately, you did not.
Damn it. I thought I could score some points. Holy shit. Because the news, the focus yesterday very much was on this one woman, Antifa Karen, as we like to call her. I don't remember the name. Her profile. It's all over the internet. But on this program, we do not celebrate terrorists, which is what she was. She was breaking into the House chambers, if I'm not correct, or in the hallway leading to the house chambers.
She get into the house chamber. She was breaking through a window.
After a window had been broken, she was trying to climb her way through it, screaming some nonsense, and was shot in the
neck
area by one of the Capitol Police.
So we think.
Personally, I will have a sip for her death because she deserved it incredibly.
So I think we need to accept some realities that either the Capitol is not as well defended as we would hope it would be, or the Capitol Police, which, as it is shown in some videos, really did not attempt to stop any of these protesters going into the Capitol.
Okay, I think there's several things going on here. I believe that there were Capitol Police who put up their best line of defense. You clearly see that there are video footage of these guys literally doing what they can, holding back the crowds, hitting the crowds as they were trying to break the line of defense that the Capitol Police put up. I do believe it hit a point where they realized that they were outnumbered, that they were outmanned, probably afraid for their safety. And instead of holding the line, they basically surrendered the Capitol to an angry mob.
At the end of the day, that's what it seems like. What
now, the question that we ought, that has to be asked, and it's being asked, and I know that we will probably never get an accurate answer, is that despite all of the online chatter that, this isn't ISIS, this isn't Al-Qaeda pre 9/11 talking to each other in coded language about, things that were going to be happening. This is on American social media, Facebook, Instagram, Parler, Reddit, 4chan, 8chan, Ron and Brian podcast, but this was well announced. If you are a Proud Boy, if you are a Boogaloo Boy, if you're a Jungle Brother, what are the other names that I'm forgetting?
I'm not quite sure. After
is there like a boogie board people?
KKK maybe? I don't know. White
but it was, if you're one of us, we are all going to the Capitol on January 6th. We are going to a rally that's being held by the president. Bring ammunition, bring your guns, load up. This is, we are going to defend our country, fight for your freedom. Like, there was all of the fact that there was such inadequate security of the Capitol building. I mean, you look at the security around the White House, there was a fence put up prior to, what was it? September, they put up a reinforced fence around the way. You can't get anywhere near that building. Right. The idea that when there is a, knowing that on the day of this rally, Congress was going to be meeting in a joint session to nominate Joe Biden or to ratify the Electoral College's numbers to award the presidency to Joe Biden. The fact that nobody sat there and said, we need to send extra troops to protect the Capitol, to, turn away these protests. The fact that none of that happened, somebody either fucked up royally or somebody maliciously ensured that the third arm of our government, the legislative, was woefully vulnerable to being taken control. They showed pictures yesterday of these idiots walking through with zip ties, with stacks of zip ties. These guys, right, were looking to take hostages.
That was constructed outside of the Capitol.
Yeah, and not everybody there was acting necessarily in a threatening manner. I mean, you could clearly see a lot of people were milling around outside of the Capitol, really as if they were just tourists, had no business being where they were. Don't get me wrong, but the people that were inside, the growing list of vandalism that took place in there, As well as just the fact that the threat to the congressman's life, really fucking scary stuff.
Yeah, no, it was scary to see. You know, and it is something that, you know, I think the Republican Party is going to need to address as to how, you know, what kind of party are they going to want to be moving forward? Because, you know, a number, you know, so obviously this all happened. You know, the Capitol was overtaken. You know, the Capitol Police, National Guard, you know, FBI SWAT teams went in. People were able to get control of the situation eventually. But even at that, after that point, you know, there were a number of Republican senators and representatives that were initially going to object to, you know, the Electoral College vote that said, you know what, this isn't the time now.
Right.
But still had people on the Senate side, you know, Ted Cruz continued his objection with the state of Arizona. And he was joined by Dr. Paul Gosar on the representative side.
Fuck them both.
You know, Pennsylvania was also, you know, a situation where newly sworn in Senator Josh Hawley.
Who is that guy? I've never heard of him before this week, and now he's everywhere.
He is the new senator from the state of Kansas. And, you know, clearly people have said this was Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley trying to make their play to be a presidential candidate in 2024, that they were attempting to, you know, appeal to the appeal to the Trump base.
Right.
And
well, think about it. Ever since, I mean, it's not like it happened starting after the election, but ever since this election started, you know, with when they started allowing mail-in ballots, you know, as openly as they did this election cycle, Trump has been ranting about how the levels of fraud that are taking place, and without really producing evidence of it, the number of Republicans that immediately signed on to that narrative, regardless of being able to sit there and say, here's the proof that that we have on our side of the fraud. I mean, they've been marching this narrative for months now without ever being able to back it up.
Right.
I hate to say it, but it's too fucking late for me to feel sympathy for any of these fucking people. They're all turning on Trump now, acting as if what he did yesterday by riling up his crowd at the rally and convincing them all, hey, let's march onto the Capitol and show our senators that we are not going to allow them to steal the election. I mean, I don't know from the legal sense whether he's guilty of inciting a riot. That's for a grand jury. But the fact that at this point they're bailing on him, it's a little too coincidental that it's also at the right time that now 100% absolutely Joe Biden is going to be our next president.
Right.
That it's almost as if these people, you know, tried to cling on to this man in the hopes that there was somehow he was going to overthrow the popular election and that they would be sidled up to him as his favored lackeys. And after yesterday's disaster at the Capitol, it was suddenly he became persona non grata because he refused to, not only did he incite it, but he refused to step in and get involved when his supporters were literally tearing apart the Congress. That suddenly, when people realize, oh, wait a second, he is definitely not going to be president, suddenly all these fucking politicians are like, oh, now he's gone too far.
Right.
Yesterday was a direct result of the hate speech that he's been putting out for months.
Without a doubt. And Mitch McConnell, you know, prior to the session being shut down, you know, tried to walk himself back by saying, you know, Joe Biden is the president. You know, we can't, you know, Trump lost 62 lawsuits, went in front of 90 judges, a number of which he appointed, went in front of a Supreme Court, three of whom he appointed justices to, couldn't even get an audience. Like, you have to accept reality at some point. Lindsey Graham even now trying to walk back. You know,
he tried that shit last night.
Right.
But where was he for the past months?
Right. You know, he's standing up there saying, you know, well, look at all the security that was out there when Black Lives Matter showed up. You know, why didn't we get that same, you know, that same security? So all of a sudden, Lindsey Graham is feeling bad for Black Lives Matter.
Fuck him.
The names that we need to remember, especially on the Senate, and there's way too many names to list on the House side.
Give me some.
The thing you need to understand about the House of Representatives is every hick section and every hick state is represented. So that's why you got like 130 House of Representatives that voted to block the certification of Arizona and Pennsylvania. But for the state of Arizona, these are the six senators that voted against certifying that state. Ted Cruz from Texas, Josh Hawley from Missouri, excuse me, not Kansas, Tommy Tuberville, fucking moron freshman senator from Alabama, Cindy Hyde-Smith from Mississippi, Roger Marshall from Kansas, and John Kennedy from Louisiana.
Can I ask you a question?
You sure can.
Because you are way more educated than I am on this shit. How is it that a senator from Texas has any say on a election that's being held in a different state?
Well, and that's the point, and that is why everybody who didn't want anyone to contest these election results for the states, that was the point that they made, is that the states are responsible for their own elections.
And yes,
that, you know, and especially in the GOP, you know, people in the GOP are like, we are arguing that we are the party of small government, yet we want to enlarge the size of the government and take away states' rights.
Right.
And states' rights are fine when you're talking to a white nationalist, but states' rights aren't fine when you're dealing with a state that went blue, whether it's Georgia or Arizona or Pennsylvania. And in Pennsylvania, on top of those six, Florida Senator Rick Scott also added his name to.
Oh, fuck him. He's another scumbag. I never liked that guy.
He's the guy that oppressed millions of African-American votes during his time as governor in Florida. He was all about Medicare fraud, which he never paid a dime for, never went to jail for. He is the last person that should be talking about anything requiring legality.
The other part that I think is total bullshit is the fact that one of the rights arguments about the way these states held their elections was they were like, oh, all these laws were changed for this election and you shouldn't be able to do that. You shouldn't change the way elections happen. But the right has been gerrymandering for generations to ensure that they continue to win congressional districts.
Right.
And if you look at the geographical shape of some of these districts that have been created in the House of Representatives to ensure white majority populations in these areas, it's fucking ludicrous. But somehow they never had a problem with the way the states ran those elections.
Well, and a couple of things to also keep in mind is, you know, Republicans only objected to the presidential results in those states. They didn't object.
Right.
They didn't object to any Republican that got elected in those states.
Right.
So their argument about the changes in voting due to the pandemic, most of those took place during each and every primary in each and every state. So the time to raise the issue would have been at the time of the primary, not the time of the general election.
But they only cared because they lost.
Right.
The one thing that they have shown out of all of this, which is something that they have been a party of for years, is the fact that the Republicans will do whatever it takes to promote their agenda. They have never been about leveling the playing field. They've never about been doing what is fair and equal for everyone. It has become a cutthroat industry of by whatever means necessary to win. And that is why the Democrats have had their ass handed to them for pretty much the past 40 years. Right. When you look at Congress as a whole, the Democrats are fighting a different game than the Republicans. The Republicans are literally are willing to fight how they'll change the rules midstream. They'll change their arguments, whatever. And congrats to them. It's worked wonders for them. But you can't sit there after the election and be like, oh, by the way, I had a problem with it, when you had all this time before the date the election was held to voice any of your concerns.
And that was the primary reason a lot of their court cases got thrown out. Is they were like, well, you argue this back in April, May, June. Just real quick, someone just sent me this piece of information. Going back to the Capitol story, the Capitol Police have a 2,300 member department, and they have a $460 million budget.
What?
And they're also
Where's all that money going to?
And they're also exempt from public records requests. So even if the people wanted information on what went wrong yesterday, they would not have to give that information up.
Is that because they are tasked with providing security to Congress? So therefore,
yeah. I'm sure the reason for that budget is, you know, because of security for the White House, for the Capitol, for everything else. But what you say yesterday is $460 million of your tax dollars.
Let's be brutally honest here. Congress, especially now that there is a Democratic, there's going to be Democratic control in the Senate. By the way, congratulations to the two dipshits in Georgia. I don't know their names. It's not John important. Ossoff
and the Reverend.
This Glenn Livett has been very friendly to me so far. But don't get me wrong. I am not loving the idea of Chuck Schumer running the Senate.
Well, I agree with that.
You know, it's dangerous when one party has all control. But there are absolutely going to be some fucking hearings that are going to be taking place soon.
Oh yeah, and what?
Because think about it, these guys' lives were at stake. These men and women, they literally felt unsafe, and they're now pissed. It's going to be funny.
What's also
going to be sloppy.
Is this is what other people have pointed out? Also, is yesterday Twitter banned Trump for Trump wars. I've heard they've extended that. Facebook shut down his account. Have said that, whatchamacallit, that he'll be off Facebook until at least
after the election. Correct.
What people pointed out was very interesting, because we've gone 4 years with Trump being Trump on Facebook and Twitter. What people found interesting was, yes, you had the situation that happened at the Capitol yesterday. But what you also had yesterday, as you said, was the state of Georgia, both their Senate races being called, and the Democrats taking control of the Senate, which means the Democrats would take control of any committee in charge of investigating Facebook and Twitter.
Yep. Everybody, even the fucking, everyone jumped off of the Donald Trump bandwagon literally after Pence announced that he was not going to take any action to override the Electoral College count. Suddenly, everyone sat there and made Donald Trump persona non grata. And they're seizing upon the idea of these far right supporters invading the Capitol as the reason. But it literally is. They did not want to be identified with a sinking ship, which Trump clearly is. And it's too fucking late. It's too fucking late. Twitter has literally ridden this guy's asshole for 4 fucking years, watching him literally put out lie after lie after lie, doing absolutely nothing about it, ensuring that, you know, that there would be traffic driven to the website, the mobile app. Same thing. Facebook took all of his ad money, and now suddenly that it's clear he's going to Mar-a-Lago in 2 weeks. Now suddenly they have a problem with him.
Well, let me ask you this: do you feel there's any chance that the 25th Amendment is invoked prior to January 20th?
I would love to see it happen. The only way I see there being an exit for Trump is if people in his immediate small circle say you cannot pardon yourself, but if you resign, Pence has promised you he will pardon you.
All right. A more important question for you right now, Brian. What are you watching?
Cobra Kai.
Oh, yes. Cobra Kai. Season 3.
Season 3rd.
Yes.
Turd. The turdiest season. The such a gigantic turd of my... what was it? It was 10 episodes. I wasted...
So don't say anything.
Oh, you've only watched 3 episodes?
I've only watched 3 episodes.
I watched the entire season, and because of that, can you please take your headphones out for a couple moments? I would like to announce some spoiler alerts.
Don't spoil it.
When the kid with the mohawk dies, I mean, the idea that they would kill him off, it was a shocking death. Obviously... when Kreese put him in the glass tank filled with snakes, I mean, I thought that, you know, the kid that he would be saved by the other kid, but it did not happen.
What else are you watching?
When the two girls started to kiss, you know, in the middle of the fight in the last episode, I mean, it was just shock. Oh, no, I think that's pretty much what I am watching.
Well, remember, we both watched the new Wonder Woman movie, Wonder Woman 1984.
That seems like fucking ages ago. Holy cow, I forgot we have not done an episode since.
And it was a bad movie.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Wonder Woman 84, how do you rank it?
I'm going to give it a 4.
Mm.
A generous 4.
I think that's a generous 4. What did you find... What did you find good about it? Because I felt it was all bad.
You know, I think Gal Gadot is a great choice for Wonder Woman, and I think she does a good job at it. I think there were some fight scenes that were good. I think there, you know, some of the action scenes were good. I think the overall story, it was too much. It was too long. Again, too many villains. To try and do the backstory, a lot of it didn't make sense. You know, I don't know why. You know,
what was Kristen Wiig doing in that? And I don't mean the actress. I mean, what was the whole fucking point of the character?
Yeah, I think it just got to be such a bloated movie that they cut stuff out, and I think a lot of it ended up not making sense by whatever was cut out.
So what you're saying is that somewhere out there is a 4-hour director's cut that literally spells the whole story out for you.
I think we want the Zack Snyder Wonder Woman cut, and that will give us everything we need. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I think it was because they've announced that Michael Keaton is going to play Batman again in a new Flash movie.
What?
I thought back to that original Batman movie with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
I'm Batman.
But we would have to admit that was a great movie. The first
it was Batman. A fun movie. I don't great like when I hear great movie, I think of like A Few Good Men, right. Citizen Kane.
Right. You're
I
very
don't think
bougie.
Batman
you're
is
very yeah. bougie when you come to your movies and you have this thing about superhero movies to begin with. But as far as
I'm sorry, but I, you know, me and Marty Scorsese are in the same boat. This isn't art.
All right, let me put it a different way. For as far as superhero movies go, Batman was one of the better ones.
It was correct? A fun movie, yes.
And what they managed to do was they managed to give you Batman's backstory, they managed to give you the Joker's backstory, and they gave you an overall story, and they managed to bring it in under 2 hours, and they made the whole damn thing entertaining.
Yes.
Didn't
they bring in Kim Basinger?
Kim Basinger was in there. But again, I don't know why they go away from that formula. Again, we saw, and especially with DC, like Justice League was bloated. You know, Batman versus Superman, just these long 2.5-3 hour epics that
Val Kilmer is bloated.
Well, now he is. Good Lord. How come no one put Val Kilmer on a Deathpool?
Ooh, that's a good. Ooh, I didn't even think of Val Kilmer. But that guy's. He's.
What else are you watching, Brian?
A Christmas Story.
We did watch A Christmas Story on Christmas.
Garbage. Anybody that's going to sit there and tell me that A Christmas Story is a fun movie at no matter what age, it's the same thing as me clinging to the original Star Wars movie as good entertainment. No, it's a movie for children that you cling to because you have fond memories of your childhood. Garbage movie.
I've got a couple of things on Showtime that I'm going to recommend to you.
Hold on, let me.
I'm logging. Have you watched City on a Hill yet with Kevin Bacon?
I've never even heard of it.
Apparently, it came out in 2019. Kevin Bacon plays a corrupt FBI agent from Boston. And
what's it called? City on the Hill?
City on a Hill. And he channels his inner Teddy KGB and just overacts and chews up scenery in every freaking scene he's in. And it's great to watch for like 10 episodes.
Pay that man his money.
And then also, I am watching the docuseries on the Reagans on Showtime. I believe it's four episodes.
Okay.
After three so far. And what I am finding very interesting in watching about Ronald Reagan is if you look at how Ronald Reagan campaigned, it mirrors how Donald Trump campaigns. Mm-hmm. From the dog whistling, from the racism, even down to the point that in 1980, you know, Ronald Reagan even used the phrase "Make America Great Again." Now,
really,
there in 80, America was in the shitter. Like, I mean, we had issues getting gas. There was, you know, waiting hours in line to get gas.
Iran hostage situation. We were feckless.
But even going back to like 66, Reagan was real big into the dog whistle racism with, you know, talking about the welfare queen, talking about, you know, how the inner cities were becoming jungles. They were, you know, being overrun. They're jungles. So I would watch that. Dom just brought up a good one. The History of Swear Words on Netflix with.
Ooh, I saw a preview for that. That looks good.
Yeah, I definitely want to check that out. But check out The Reagans. Check out City on a Hill. And keep up with, if you haven't yet, Your Honor on Showtime with Bryan Cranston.
I heard good things about that from you, actually.
It's good. It's good. But yeah, Wonder Woman, not good.
Terrible, terrible.
Now, Ron, you know what can do? Will we have a watch party for the Zack Snyder director's cut of Justice League when it comes out on HBO Max in March?
No.
All right, fair enough. Also, another show to check out. It's called Kingdom. No, wait. It's called The Last Kingdom. From 2015, one of these British shows on Netflix. Check out Last Kingdom. Ignore that I said Kingdom at all.
Where is The Last Kingdom on?
It is on Netflix.
Got it.
So check out The Last Kingdom before you do anything else.
Well, am I supposed to watch The Last Kingdom, City on a Hill, or Reagan? I can only watch one thing at a time.
You got to organize yourself.
Clearly, have you met me? I am not organized.
Anything else this week? I mean, we've covered a lot.
Ron, can we have a moment of silence for Dawn Wells?
Oh, Marianne from Gilligan's Island passing away. It was COVID, that got her right at the age of 82.
It was COVID. Yes. Yes. I give her a B+.
I would give her a B+, leaving only Tina Louise as the sole surviving member of Gilligan's Island.
I think she can do that. Ron, can I ask you a question?
Of course.
What did you eat tonight?
tonight, I cooked up some pork loin and some baby bok choy.
What exactly? Bok choy is like a cabbage?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, how do you cook a bok choy?
I mean, I chop it up and I saute it in some olive oil. You want to cook the stem first and then... put the leaves in at the end.
Now, I don't want you to disclose any family secrets because I know you are very, you don't talk about your family a lot. You keep it to yourself.
Wow.
why did you choose olive oil instead of one of the many oils that you have on your kitchen counter?
It's just what I have used for baby bok choy. Just that. And Brian,
now, is that because you feel like you did not want to use the grapeseed oil?
I don't think that would be good for baby bok choy. Brian, coming in, this is kind of surprising. Following the pro Trump insurrection yesterday at the Capitol, Education Secretary Betsy DeVos has announced her resignation.
Really? Shocker.
And no one cares.
Because she never worked. She didn't do anything.
Yeah.
All she did was sit there and say wealthy people shouldn't have to put their kids in private education and the government should pay for it.
That was like Mick Mulvaney resigning as ambassador to like Ireland.
Fucking Northern. It wasn't even Ireland. It was Northern Ireland. All these people, I have no sympathy for whatever. They're not showing a backbone. They're not standing up to the man. No, they're jumping off of the Titanic, literally, whereas there's like 3 inches of the ship above the waterline.
And listen, if you want to know how to really support America, you join the Ron and Brian podcast Patreon. Because we are, in about 15 minutes, going to go live with Ron and Brian After Dark, exclusive for our Patreon members at a $10 level or higher. If you go to ronandbrianpodcast.com, upper right-hand corner, click Become a Patron. Brian's showing you the coffee mug. We've got hats. We've got face masks. We give you a bunch of great swag if you sign up. We are building out a new web store, so hopefully you can get a onesie if you're expecting, you got a baby and whatnot, you can get yourself a onesie. We've got some iPhone cases that we're rolling out. We will sell anything. We are whores for the merch, and I think
it's a lot of money, people. It's for $5 a month, you get the audio of every After Dark episode we ever have done, and on a weekly basis. It is, you know, we save some of the more salacious, sexy, fun, liberating stories. I talk about my personal satisfaction aids. Ron tells stories of his sordid past. Mm-hmm. I get naked sometimes. I took my shirt off last time we did it. Once a month at the $10 level, I believe we call that the aluminum level. At the $10 a month, you get the live video feed. So you can actually watch the After Dark. Once a month, we do something very special on the last Thursday of the month. We do what we call the After Dark Pajama Party, where we invite all of our Patreon subscribers, our super fans, if you would, come on the show with us. And, oh yeah, I like that, the Ron and Brian drying racks. That I would, I wouldn't even need to change my order on those. But I get distracted easily.
I understand.
But once a month on the pajama party, our Patreons come on with us, and it's like watching the Brady Bunch. There's like 9 screens going on at the same time. Ron is sitting there going from person to person. It is a fun time. Last month, if I am not correct, almost all of us were wearing some type of proper pajamas. It was a fun time. Was had by all. Don't miss out on it. You can join for as little as $5 to $10. If you want to go crazy, if you really want to celebrate the Ron and Brian podcast, we do have the special diamond level, which I believe is $1,000 a month, limited to 150. You do not want to get locked out of that.
There you go. All right. Anything else this week, Brian? Are you ready to get ready for a little After Dark? I know I got to fill up my beer one more time, finish off that Black Hearts Now Rain. And I'm sure you want to get yourself maybe a little refill on the Glenlivet. And it's going to be...
need another ice cube. This glass is empty.
So we will see all of you that are Patreon on After Dark in a few minutes. The rest of you, we will catch next week. Thank you for joining us. Stay safe out there. We'll catch you next week.